Hello, and thank you so much for popping by. I've got a treat in store for you today as I'm chatting with the wonderful Meta Bailey about her extensive experience as a couture dressmaker, the impact of wearing clothes that truly fit, and why she set up her capsule wardrobe subscription program. She also has a special offer for you, so listen out for that too. Meta's business, Freya Designer Dressmaking, is based in the heart of Edinburgh, and she's no stranger to being nominated for and winning awards for her dresses and her business. Originally from Denmark, where she studied couture design, Meta makes bespoke clothing for her clients to fit their bodies and their lifestyle. And now she also teaches those skills to others through her online subscription program. So I'm delighted that she's joined me for this episode to share a bit of her extensive wisdom with us. And she gives one of the most surprising answers I've had to date in our quickfire questions. So let's get stuck in. Hello everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. So, hi everyone, and welcome to this episode of the So Mindful podcast. I am delighted to be joined by the lovely Meta Bailey. So Meta, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I absolutely can. Thank you so much for listening and inviting me on, Jackie. My name is Meta. I'm Danish, but I've lived in Edinburgh for a long, long time. And all the time I've lived there, I've been building my business, which is a couture design business. And I've had it now for 24 years. I don't know how time flies. And I have an amazing trusted team that's been with me for a long, long time. And we get students in and train them up. And it's just really rewarding like that. Probably a third of what we do is wedding dresses. Another third is mother of the bride. And then the last is sort of, we do quite a lot of jackets. We were recently featured on television in Scandinavia. So we've had a lot of Scandinavians coming to get Scottish jackets, you know. And then recently set up an online course as well, teaching dressmaking. So there's lots of things happening all the time. It's really exciting.
Yes, amazing. And I think you were saying to me as well, weren't you, about the award that you've been, well, you've been nominated for a few awards, haven't you? But we were just talking about one of the most recent ones. Do you want to share a little bit with the listeners about that?
So I'm nominated for Scottish Brand Designer of the Year through Your Scottish Weddings and also for Mum's Outfitter of the Year. And that is something that I've been in the final for every year since 2008. So I've won it quite a lot of times. I don't think any other business have been in so many times. They're like, oh, there she is again. And then one I'm really proud of that I've only just heard that I'm up for is Scottish Women's Enterprise and it's Most Resilient Business of the Year.
Yeah.
I really thought about that. So we've done a lot to make ourselves really resilient. We've had a lot of challenges the last many years. And every time it's been that thing where I just thought, oh, this is what I love. You know, this is what I want to do. I went through cancer and I just wanted to work. And I obviously went through COVID and every time it just made my love for my work even stronger. So basically tried to set up a business model that was really agile and really not so fragile if things should happen in the future. So that's something we've been working on behind the scenes the last few years. So it's nice to be recognized for a shortlisting for an award.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think you said to me as well, it kind of reinforced your passion for what you do and made you realize that you just want to keep doing that, even though it's been challenging. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. When people say, just take some time off, it's the worst thing I could imagine. It's not for me.
Fabulous. And so how long have you been sewing and how did you get started, Meta?
You know, I made my first outfit when I was 9.
Wow.
I know. And it was sort of a little bit like a skirt and a waistcoat with a satin back. And it was kind of like a Little House on the Prairie. And I loved it. And I wore it so long. And I grew out of it eventually, because obviously this is the time where your legs just get longer and longer and longer. But I wore it so much. And I think it also really got me started, because obviously you normally wear whatever jeans and t-shirts and stuff like that when you were that age. But it just... It taught me how I felt different. I felt empowered. Here I am in this outfit, you know, and I also felt empowered by the language that this was communicating.
Yeah.
That I dressed so differently. And so I'm 100% sure this got me started, my love for dressmaking and just the love of the language that clothing speaks.
Yeah, yeah. And then you did some training. So can you tell people a little bit about what your sewing journey's been?
Yeah, so I mean, I made lots of things when I was from 9 onwards. And my mum was a decent dressmaker, my grandmother even better, but only like hobby. Did sort of a few classes at school and, you know, sort of youth clubs and stuff like that. And then I've always been really active, so I also did a lot of sports. So I was always sort of torn whether I should do sport or sewing, you know. And I ended up doing my couture design degree in Denmark. And it's a school that's kind of copied the curriculum from the couture design schools in Paris. So it's a similar, it's quite different to how you work when you develop design for industry. And I always had this thing about how the body moves because I was really sporty. So I was always fascinated with the body and how it moves and how the clothes should always encourage or emphasize your movement and not restrict it. And it's so interesting because I obviously come from Denmark and probably about 80% of women, they cycle to work. So Their clothing are different because they need to cycle to work, but they still need to be smart. So I think it's really important that we keep in mind that our clothes should encourage us in doing and living the lives that we want, but still look smart and still adapt to whatever activity and whatever lives that we have. You know, I find that really important.
Yeah, it's definitely a factor when you're getting dressed in the morning, I find. What am I going to be doing today? And will this be practical? You know, certain outfits lend themselves to things better. If I'm going walking with friends, I'll make different choices than if I'm going to be at home most of the day or whatever. So you're right. I think it's important to have clothes that fit your lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so how did you get from your couture course to where you are now? So just tell me a little bit about that.
After I finished my course, I had done my placement in a small place in Copenhagen that had a lot of clients and really interesting client base. We had the Queen's first maid, so we had a lot of very official outfits. And then we had a lot of female musical soloists and so on. So, you know, there would be a woman that did cello concerts, you know, so she would have to have a dress where she could spread her legs. There was all this kind of stuff and it was really interesting and I loved it. And I worked there for a while. And then my husband then got a job in England. And we moved to the Midlands and I started working doing pattern cutting. And I was kind of the link between the design department and the technical department for Marks and Spencer's and designed and made garments for the women's wear for a Marks and Spencer's supplier. And it was interesting, but it blew my mind, the whole difficulty that you have in situations like that where sales people say it's company policy that we have the same size, we have the same bikini to be sold in all sizes, and we do up to size 58. Well, surprise, surprise, in size 58, she's not wearing the same bikini as a size 6, you know, and then they would come back and say, oh, that bikini never sold in a size 54. Yeah, not so many wear string bikinis, you know, in that. So I found it really frustrating. And I think also because I was trained to do more one-offs and stuff, but I found the whole environment really frustrating. I think it was a really frustrating time as well for Marks & Spencer at the time when they were moving production abroad and there was so much going on. So it wasn't a very happy time. And I was basically thinking, you know, I'm going to work for myself. And I was really young and I did apply for a few different jobs and they all said, oh, you got to work for free. That's what we do in UK. We work for free for a year to see if you're any good. So I set up my business in Edinburgh. I had done my dissertation in Scottish estate tweeds. And I'm really fascinated about the whole textile history background in Scotland. There's like the Paisley, Scottish estate tweeds and the tartans and all that. But I had done a lot of work on Scottish estate tweeds and I thought I was going to do ladies tweed jackets with leather trims and suede and all this, which I have done and have worked on ever since. But then somebody came and said, could you make a wedding dress? And then the rest of history, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely a big market, isn't it? The wedding dresses. So yeah, maybe more so than the tweed jackets, but still gorgeous. Like you say, those textiles in that region are just so beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah. And I love the slow fashion and I love the kind of almost molding they do to the body that they almost get better with wear and all this kind of stuff. I'm just in love with that.
Yeah, invest in timeless pieces and keep them. I think that's definitely a motto, isn't it? So you mentioned that you started doing courses. I think you were telling me that when COVID hit and business was hard, you've been thinking about kind of how to still add value and those kinds of things. So tell me a little bit about your course and your subscription program.
Yeah, so I've set up this course and it's a monthly subscription And every month you get a pattern that I have worked through. And the month we're in now, we were making jumpsuits, and it's been a funny one because it's been a bit Marmite. Some people were like, yeah, amazing. And other people were like, no, I've worn them before. I'm not doing that again, you know. But I think you should sort of think about it like a book club. You might not read every book, you know, but you get the pattern and you get access to a video recording step by step, how to take your measurements and how to adapt the pattern to your size. Because things like jumpsuits, that's why they're so hard to buy in the shop, because most people are different size top and bottom. So I go through how to adapt the pattern to if you're bigger on the top and narrow hips and the other way around. And I show variations for the different body types. And I show variations on how the jumpsuit can look completely different, different fabrics. So everyone gets in the post a parcel with this pattern. And then they get the online sort of tutorial. And then we always have a little free bonus project. So there's a tiny little thing that they can do, like a pocket hat or something that they can do in an hour or 2 hours if they have a busy month and they're not going to make a whole garment. And then there's a Facebook community and they can ask questions and I come up with sort of video tutorials and so on when they run into problems. We have a monthly Zoom call and we've had a day out to the museum watching amazing dresses and stuff. It's a really lovely community. And I think we're 6 months in now and it's grown in a way I couldn't have imagined. And I'm really grateful for the crowd and how it's turned out.
Yeah. And these are patterns that you create, aren't they? You do the patterns for the monthly creations.
Yeah.
And so what kind of projects are in the pipeline for your membership?
We're sort of making a stable kind of capsule wardrobe with different stable pieces. And each month is a new piece that you can build on, adapt and make your own. You know, that's what I want to do. I want these women to make their own outfits that fits their personality, fits their body type, and just slowly build this stable wardrobe that they can swap and change and can take them to different events and different things. We had a really nice project. It was a lady that had seen a beautiful outfit in the 1940s book. And I basically made a sort of a slightly simplified version of that. And it was a long full-length A-line silk skirt. And then the picture showed a silk organza wrap blouse with a massive, really wide lapels. And we made that. And that's the one that most people probably have made up. And it turned out really nice in linens. It turned really nice in organzas and stuff. But that was really nice. And it was just nice to see all the ladies have done their own version of this thing. And I think we just want more. But I think just build on the basic skills so that they can do the different sort of elements in different pieces.
Yeah. So what have you done so far? So you mentioned about the blouse and the skirt and the jumpsuits that you've done. What else have you covered so far?
Yeah, they've done a wide leg trousers with a side zip, and then they've done a more narrow trousers with a front fly. We've done a blouse that had either an asymmetric frill or you could make it without the frill. The skirt, which was either just a plain A-line or it had a cut through and a sort of frill on the bottom. And then the wrap blouse.
Yeah, fantastic. And if people join the membership now, like you, I think you mentioned to me, they can go back and do those projects. Is that right?
So they can buy each pack, like each individual ones, but otherwise they can sign up for the membership and get one every month, you know.
Yeah.
In the month time, they don't have to sign up for 3 months or whatever. They can just join, yeah.
And so what made you set that up? What was your thinking when you created this program?
So many people have said to me over the years, I mean, it's nearly a daily thing. People say, oh, I wish I could do what you could do. And I wish that was me. Or people would come in and say, could you spend a couple of hours and teach me? And I thought, I could actually do this. I could actually share my love, you know, for this. And I just had to set it up in a way that it was practical. And I really feel that I have, because I do understand that the sort of dressmaking work I do is not accessible for everybody, you know. And I think this is accessible for everybody. And I do think, I know it sounds like massive, but I do think it changes your life. Because I think that thing that you go to shop, you try on things, they don't fit, you turn it towards yourself. You think, oh, you know, I'm so wrong. You know, I can never fit anything. And you never turn it around. Whereas I think when you start to dressmake, you're like, oh, this doesn't fit, but I can just put a dot there, or I can just let this out there. And it becomes a more objective thing where, you know, well, I've got these big boobs that I've inherited from my mom that I love, and that's just how I am. And for that reason, I'm going to just put an extra dot there and we are good to go. You know, I think it becomes a different thing. And I think these bodies are going to take us through so many things in life. We need to appreciate them and just dress them nicely and appreciate them for what they are, instead of forever wishing we were something that we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you say, kind of treating the two items, your body and the pattern, as two things that exist. There's no judgment on either piece. There's just, this is one, this is the other. And how can I get them to work together? And I think that's a great approach. And I think, as you say, when you start to think of it in that way, it's a lot less critical, isn't it? You know, you just think, well, okay, well, what technique do I need for this? Yeah. Or what do I need to change for that? So, yeah, I really like that. It's a good philosophy.
And some clients have said to me, look, you've changed my life because I have suddenly realized I do not need to fit into stuff. Things need to fit around me. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's how it should be, you know.
Yeah, and we did talk about that, didn't we, when we were chatting before, around the impact of good-fitting clothes. So you were sharing a story with me. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about that and how that influenced how you dress and how you make your outfits?
It's quite a few years ago, actually. My family, they had bought me a sort of stylist, because I was thinking about, should I do more kind of styling and go that sort of direction? So they had bought me that experience for my birthday, and it was really nice of them. And I turned up with this stylist, and she'd said, oh, bring some clothes that you like to wear, and we can go over them and see what's working, what's not working. And I turned up with this stylist, and I had a whole suitcase of things, and she opened the suitcase and she started pulling things out, and she's like, whose are these clothes? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, whose are these big clothes? Why did you bring all these big clothes? And I was like, no, they're mine. And she's like, no way, you're not that big. And I was like, well, those are my clothes and they all fit me. And she said, you know, I never saw you as such a big size. And I think it's just because my clothes fit, so they go in and out in the right places. So I do think that I look slimmer than I am, or, you know, have a better shape than I am, just come across differently because my clothes fit. And I think that's really interesting. I think a couple of darts here and there and you can lose a couple of pounds visually, you know. I was so surprised. I just didn't know what she meant when she said that. And I totally think that's transferable for when you can learn to dressmake and learn to make just quite simple alterations, and you will feel better and look a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. For me, I'm bigger on the bottom than I am on the top, kind of on my shoulders. So when I'm buying clothes in the shop, particularly if it's a dress or something like that, I tend to buy to fit so it's not too tight on my hips. But that often means it looks quite big on the top, and that makes me look bigger. So like you say, I like tops where they fit to the shoulder. And now I've realized that that does make a difference to how big I look or how small I look, or not that it's about the size, but it's just about the representation of my shape versus the shape of the top.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no correct size or anything, but just to look the best of what you are in the size you are and the shape you are. And I think there's so much that can be done, and so much that actually quite simple when you can learn to just pick the pieces that will go with your shape.
Yeah, definitely. So if you could give listeners one insider tip from your experience of making couture garments, what would that be?
I think that is to work your pattern through first, because usually the fabrics are quite expensive and they need a bit of handling. You know, it could be that they were sheer and basically your seams are almost the decoration of it. So for that reason, you know, get your pattern worked through, so you're not going to have to take the seam in and out or up and down a couple of times, that you've got that nailed. And a lot of things that you could do, like festive dresses and so on, you could actually do with very simple patterns that you worked through before and just make them in some sparkly, glitzy fabrics. And they would look, wow, you know, no one would know it was the same pattern you'd made those jeans from.
Yeah.
In summer, or linen trousers or whatever. So work them through first, because they often take more sequin, things like that. They're more difficult to pick and unpick and stuff. So if it's worked through first, then that I would say that's my tip.
Yeah, definitely. Some of those fabrics don't lend themselves to unpicking, do they? And you make a lot of slinky evening and wedding dresses. So it's coming up to the party season. Have you got any tips for sewing those particular fabrics?
Just the same again, you know. But I think also in general, as you know, I started dressmaking as a 9-year-old, and I sometimes wish that I was the 9-year-old, the playful person, you know, And I think that is also what we should take into dressmaking, the playfulness, and just not be so absorbed about, oh, what does the instruction say I should do here? Just play with it and stand in front of the mirror, pull it and stretch it in different directions and see, oh, well, if I take it in here, you know, that hangs a bit better and stuff. And just sometimes flip away from the instructions and think it's good, and you move on and you learn things, you know, and sometimes it doesn't work, but that's good. You tried it, you know, learned something.
Yeah. I was watching quite a young lady on YouTube, no fear, no shame, no nothing. Just took a piece of fabric, started whizzing around with a rotary cutter, whipped it up, threw it on. And it was just like you said, that kind of fearlessness around sewing. I think we don't need it all the time, but I think it is good to have that a little bit of the time and just sort of get out of your own head and give things a go.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And like you say, stuff like sequins and things can be a bit of a challenge, can't they?
Yeah.
So making sure that you unpick them on the seams and things like that is one of the things that I would say is quite key, isn't it? To save your needles if you don't want to be dipping through hundreds of sewing needles.
We've got these safety goggles. It's like horrible to get one of them in your eyes, you know, that you just like get them away from the seams so you don't have them jumping around all over the place.
yeah, indeed. So be careful with those. Yeah, fantastic. And have you got any other insider tips that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Start to look in the shops, how are things made, and just be curious, you know. I never go to the low-end shops. I get too depressed, but I do like to go to really high-end shops, and I really appreciate like how things are made in special ways, you know, and just really taking care of details and things like that. So that's nice to see, and you can transfer these little details to your own clothes.
So there's a few quick fire questions that I just thought it'd be interesting to ask you, if that's okay. So let's start with, what's your favorite item that you've made this year?
Oh, it's got to be my mermaid outfit.
That's not totally not what I was expecting the answer to be.
You know, I have this thing about clothing being my superpower. So usually I make a costume for myself a year, and the year before I made Wonder Woman. And then this year, it's so funny because my mom and I, we share the love of water and the love of swimming. And it was my 50th birthday. And my mom said, oh, I'll buy you that thing you always wanted. I was like, Mom, what are you talking about? I've got everything. No, no, that thing you always wanted. A mermaid tail. I was like, oh, yeah, I've got one for swimming in the sea. And then I made like a skirt that went over it with all like beading and sequins and a see-through top with sort of seaweedy lace on top, just for my bra would have been. So yeah, I think that's my
hilarious. That's so funny. Fantastic. I don't think I'll ever get that same answer again. That's amazing. And so what's coming up on your sewing project list? What are you making for you?
I've got an elderly lady that I was really fond of, who was also a dressmaker. She sadly passed away recently, and I got a lot of things that she had in her trunk, and there was lots of really nice things. It was one really beautiful coating, which is black and emerald green. So I'm thinking a big sort of gangster coat for the winter. But I got some opossum skins from Canada, so I'm thinking that. So I already got some like wacky sunglasses, so I can't wait to tromp the streets in the cold winter in that.
Brilliant. Oh dear. And so when you're making clothes, what bit do you look forward to the most? What's your favorite part of making clothes?
I just love seeing it come to life and see it bit by bit, and I get totally absorbed and I forget time and place, and I love that bit. It's almost meditative, you know. It's almost like there could be bombs and everything outside and I would have no idea.
Brilliant. And is there any bit that you like the least? What do you enjoy least about dressmaking?
The thing I enjoy the least is putting things away and think, oh, I have to go and do something else now. And I was just in the thing of it, you know, I was just in the role. So putting things away, and then because you're like, where was I? You know, and you've lost that kind of meditative, that flow. And that's what I like the least.
Yeah, those interruptions. Yeah, I get you on that. That's definitely a challenge, isn't it? And if I had to ask you, what's your favorite sewing tool? If there was a desert island sewing tool, what would be your favorite sewing tool?
I think maybe my table, actually. I've seen people lie on their knees and cut out and stuff. And I was like, oh, I couldn't be dealing with that. You know, I think it's really good that you've got a table that you can spread out on, and it's a good height and, you know, good lighting and everything. I think that is really important.
Fantastic. So can you just tell people a little bit more about how they can find you, then, Metro, if they want to connect with you, or if they want to join your subscription? How do they get hold of you?
You are so welcome to join us. We are on pretty much all social media as Freya Designer Dressmaking. So it's Freya, it's Freddie, Romeo, Echo, Juliet, Alpha. Freya is the Norse goddess of beauty and fertility. And in English, it's spelled with a Y, but it's obviously a registered trademark for somebody else. So Freya is pronounced with a Y, but it's spelled with a J. So Freya Designer Dressmaking on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. I've got many people looking at my Pinterest, and it's a combined account for both my wedding dresses, Mother of the Bride, and my course. But all the information should be there. I've also got a website, which is freya-fashion.co.uk. It's got the course details for signing up and stuff. But all this is also on my link tree on the social media. So you're more than welcome to join us there. We're delighted to have you.
Fabulous. And you've got a special offer for the listeners today, have you? So do you want to tell them a little bit more about that?
Yes. So my course is £28 a month. But if you sign up, there is a code and it's £10 off. Yeah. And then it's capital letters. So if you put that in when you go to my website and sign up for the course, you should get £10 off the first month. So pretty good deal for you.
Very generous. So definitely go and check that out. Have a look at Meta's Instagram. I think some of the photos that you have on there are just gorgeous. So do go and have a look at that and sign up for her subscription. If you want to start to make your own capsule wardrobe, then I think that's a great place to start and get some support to do that. So thank you so much for joining me, Meta. It's been great speaking to you and lovely hearing about how you've come on your journey. Thank you so much for sharing those tips as well. Really appreciate it. And I'll put all of the details to connect with you into the show notes. So definitely go and have a check of those. So thank you so much. It's been really great. And I hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much. Pleasure all mine. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.